You are listening to The Recovered Therapist, brought to you by FreshOutOfPlans.com. I'm Jeannie Griffin, and I'll be your host. Instead of focusing on labels, diagnoses, and psychobabble, we keep things honest, simple, and hopeful so that you can grow personally and spiritually. Thank you for joining me. In this episode, I'd like to talk about what the characteristics are for healthy families and the disruptions that are caused in parental alcoholism in the family maybe that you grew up in. Now, when I say healthy families, we define healthy as a family that functions pretty efficiently. And there is no family on the planet that has all of these characteristics. And I'm here to tell you that all families go through periods of dysfunction. So don't get offended and say, oh no, I had a perfect childhood, because you would be lying. Nobody has a perfect childhood because we are imperfect human beings. So let's take a look at some of these characteristics of efficiently functioning families. The first is safety. The family provides safety for the child. Okay, the first characteristic is safety. Children feel safe. Now, there could be arguing still going on, but they feel safe. But in an alcoholic home where that safety is interrupted, there is emotionally unavailability of parents. So when the parent one minute is very demonstrative, very much there for the child, and the next minute not, children try to please, and they're very narcissistic. And I don't say that in a negative way. They're very, the world revolves around them. They have nothing to relate. They don't know about, you know, other people. We have to be taught that. And so they believe that everything that happens is somehow related to them. So that mood swing or the emotional unavailability here one minute, not the next, is a very impactful on the children because they don't feel safe. That's that unpredictability. And the failure to protect the children from any kind of hazard. Sometimes it's because, you know, they're not paying attention and the child is, you know, climbing on the roof or whatever. Sometimes it's the physical abuse and the neglect and the emotional abuse actually happening in the home. And what's interesting is the physical abuse, I'm not going to say it causes less damage, but it's easier to recognize later on. At some point, the child will be at some age and say, you know, that was wrong. I was just 8 when I was trying to do that, and I got hit for it. That's wrong. It's when children are ignored that is so devastating, because they don't understand what they have done wrong to lose your favor. Another healthy trait is open communication. So in a healthy system, in a functioning system, all information goes in and out freely. And people are entitled to think and learn and talk about and have their own opinion. But in addicted homes, feelings are all hidden. You know, communication is based on being psychic, trying to figure out the other person's body language. What kind of evening are we going to have tonight? Depends on how somebody comes in the back door and slams the door. Oh, it's going to be that way. Okay, well, let's head for our room. Feelings are hidden. Secrets are kept. And the whole message a lot of times is peace at any price. Just don't make waves. Let's just pretend everything's going to go okay this evening. A third characteristic is self-care. And wow, the alcoholic family, one of the rules in that system is whatever the needs of the alcoholic is, or their needs are, they come first. So I don't care if you're hungry. We'll get to dinner in just a few minutes, but I need to placate the parent so that we don't have World War III tonight. Everybody takes a second fiddle. Feeling responsible for other people's problems is what ends up happening to children. They also believe in scarcity. There's not enough time, there's not enough food, there's not enough happiness, there's not enough information, there's not enough, there's not enough, there's not enough. And that principle of scarcity permeates their lives. And it's not until later that they begin to witness that in their head, they may have a lot of money or they may have a lot of love, but in their head, they still are thinking it's not enough. It's going to run out. It's going to go away. Okay. In a healthy family, people have different roles. And the children aren't expected to be the parents of the family. The family needs are dictated, and roles become very rigid in an alcoholic home. And you were supposed to do this, and why didn't you feed your younger brother, or what's the matter with you? Children are not allowed to be children. They have to anticipate the needs of the parents. Another healthy characteristic is continuity. Oh, man. You know, in a home disrupted by alcoholism, there's no continuity. It's chaos, arbitrariness. The family system is just very chaotic. Okay, another characteristic is respect for privacy. Oh, no. Not in an alcoholic home. Parents become intrusive. Secrets are confused with privacy, and there's no respect for individual differences. So you have to... I remember one time we had to leave every letter we wrote to anybody. And I mean, in those days, we weren't writing any big, long love letters or anything. There were thank you notes and things like that, but they all had to be left unsealed so that our parents could check the spelling. Good grief. Like a 7-year-old or 6-year-old or 10-year-old is not supposed to have any spelling errors because what? It makes the parent look bad? Instead of the child look like a 10-year-old child or a 5-year-old child or whatever. Another one is focused attention. Oh, man. Children in addicted homes don't get focused attention. The attention they get is determined by the alcoholism, not by the child's needs. So sometimes, boy, you don't want the attention of the alcoholic if it gets past a point where they could be mean or angry. Or sometimes melancholy. And it's like, oh, I wish I could make them happy. And it's, if I could just figure out this or that, then they would be happy. Focused attention is a rarity in children from alcoholic homes. And then a final characteristic of healthy families is there's quality time. And there's quality of whatever the... What word am I looking for? The currency of the family. If they're talking about, let's say, a pet died, it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to talk about it. It's okay to have a range of emotions instead of, the dog died and I get over it. Alcohol affects emotions, and the emotions never reach a resolution, and it causes lifelong feelings that have been stuffed and don't get thought out until adulthood, if then. Many people have been so hurt and stuffed their feelings for so long that it is terrifying to actually tip your toe into the water and feel a little bit of those feelings. And when that happens, people who are adults that came from homes like that will dip their toe in and then say, nope, not going to do that, not going to do that. I put a funny meme in Facebook the other day, but it isn't funny. But believe me, once you get through, I don't know that you're ever through, but once you deal with a lot of these feelings and stuff that you were affected with in childhood, joy is recovered. And so you can begin to laugh at yourself and laugh at the insanity that you grew up in. And laughing at it and even forgiving it it's not approving it. Okay. Don't get that mixed up. It's not that you approve of it. It's that you just decided that it's time to move on and to cut your losses. So I did this meme in Facebook that said, I was passing a store the other day and saw, come on in, we treat you like family. And then the tagline was, yep, not going in there. Anyway, I hope that made you chuckle. If it didn't, you still have more work to do. And from one ACA to another, I hope you're having a wonderful day. And let that past stay in the past, unless you need to work on it, and let it go. Thank you for listening to The Recovered Therapist, where we keep topics honest, simple, and hopeful. I love you. There's not a damn thing you can do about it. Until next time.